Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for listeners?
Let's do it. This is really a bargain because I'm doing another promotion elsewhere, so I would take advantage of it. 50% off of all our newsletters, but you got to act quickly because we've got some other promos underway soon. That's VRTrader.com, and you use the promo code 2022 half off, and you enter that in the little promo slot in the order form. And I also want to make a disclosure that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but I sure enjoy talking about the markets and writing about them.
Mark, a whole lot of attention is being paid to artificial intelligence. Some say it's a huge threat to humanity. Others say it's going to be a huge boom. Is it just a case of people don't know really what it is? And, of course, being human, we fear the unknown.
You know, I don't understand at all. I'm not a technical person. I guess I'm where the public was back, in the early 19 or mid-1990s when the Internet and, all the computer stuff came out and we're all learning at the same time. It might be like the explosion of the Internet back then in terms of its impact. It seems like all the corporate executives that they put on national television are just foaming at the mouth about the potential, and every new stock wants their CEO involved with the company stock wants to talk about AI so they can jump in on the bandwagon and people will buy and invest in their stock. For example, Intel, which has been in the doghouse for quite some time, is a big chip maker. Came out with some comment that they like AI, are going to get involved, and the stock popped a little bit. I think it was yesterday. So any company in tech that's in the doghouse or aspiring to grow their company wants to use that magic word and get involved on some level. So I'm not saying it's not important. I mean, there's always new technology, new stuff. Short term, it unfortunately became sort of a bull trap for investors. It's like, you know, you got to own the couple or key stocks. It seems like even any of the big ones, like Microsoft, everybody jumps on board, you know, in their involvement. So it's a bull trap because everybody got involved thinking the whole stock market is four or five stocks, which took the NASDAQ to new relative highs, including NVIDIA, which had that huge move. And then, of course, had a big drop yesterday and bounced a little bit back today on Thursday. Still way overbought, in my opinion. But, you know, it's like they just can't stop talking about it, Jim. It's like every time I've turned the volume off. I can't even watch financial television. That's all they want to talk about. There's so much else going on in the world. It's inconsequential. It's like human existence depends on AI. What about the volcano that went off in Mexico? Or, you know, what about solar activity that's going on? Or what about the potential of a nuclear war? There's a comment, I was in Mendeev, the former head of the Russia, before Putin came in, or he was just intermittent, came out with some nuclear threat comment, I think yesterday or the day before. If the U.S. sends jets into Ukraine, I mean, the list, it just goes on and on. You've got an inept Federal Reserve, an inept U.S. Treasury. You've got inept politicians in Washington. Some are just anti-democratic, anti-republic, who just do things that are totally against freedom and normal business practices. You've got companies, it was an expression, if you went woke, you went broke. Some big stocks like Target, like Disney, I mean, I name a few that decided to go that path, and their stocks plummeted because, you know, clients decided they don't want woke anymore or they don't want it at all. I mean, there's just so much going on out there, and AI seems to be, you know, a cover for that, at least in terms of the talking points in the financial media. So it's tradable. I mean, you know, NVIDIA ran up, you know, 80, 90 points, and it dropped, you know, was it about 25 or 30, and then it bounced a little bit. I think it was up 15 or 20 today. And if you're a good trader, sure, take a look at the AI stocks, look at your charts, you know, look at support resistance. I haven't played them, though I was watching a couple of them for trades, but you know, I just decided that, you know, most of my clients, though we do a little bit of in and out stuff, or I talk about it. For example, we took profits in our short positions yesterday nicely when the market was down, and then the market rallied today, so we look smart for one day. You know, I do make some moves like that, and those who follow VR Trader, you know, see that. But I guess I was, you know, I was a little bit of, you know, cautious and jumping in or trading long and short the AI stocks here. But is there a future in them? I guess so. Everybody says there is. And it's probably could be a manufactured future if they just push it hard enough and people, you know, believe in it. But the main focus for me and the people that listen to this broadcast is how do you make money, you know, with it, because we're not AI technicians. We don't run AI enterprises and so forth. We're just going to look at a few stocks and think if we can trade them. So I guess it's on the watch list, and if I see an opportunity to trade these things. But I'm not, you know, I don't invest really in anything, you know, in the sense of investing. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't hold for any great period of time. That's why it's VR Trader. I mean, we try to catch some short moves in up and down in individual stocks, and some I wish I had held forever, which I don't. And, you know, part of this is, unfortunately, for those who are long-term investors, is part of my orientation and training. I started on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. This is going back way back in the 1970s. That sort of, it, you know, dates me a little bit. And the people that I worked with closed all positions out every day. And they taught me that this is a way to make a living. This is not an investment game. You know, they want to take a paycheck home every day. It's a job. And they would cash out their positions, come in fresh every day, you know, look for trades, make a hell of a living. You know, back then they were making thousands of dollars a day 50 years ago. Imagine what they're doing now. I don't know. And I became sort of, you know, entrenched in, hey, this is a way to make a living. Instead of me going out and getting paid by the hour, or I guess I'm running a company in a certain sense because I sell a newsletter, but, you know, instead of running a company and all those kind of details, you know, if you trade the market and you can pull out some cash every day, what else do you need? I mean, no matter if the economy goes to hell, you know, and you know, it did in some respects, at least, you know, during some of these market crashes, and you can, of course, make money on the downside as well, you're sort of, I don't have to say impervious, because you are and you aren't, but, you know, you can sit at your computer. If you learn technical analysis, and nobody's perfect, and I'm not saying I am, but, you know, I'm a survivor. You know, I've been around 44 years doing this, and you catch some, and you don't catch them all, and you have a couple bad trades, and you get out of them if you have to, and if most of the things are positive, then you're still, you know, a survivor. But, you know, no matter what happens, you know, there's an assassination, there's a war, there's a market boom on some great discovery, we go to war, we don't go to war, Fed raises rates, lowers rates, you know, you see it in the charts, so you can react to it. and even a crazy stock like NVIDIA. You know, it blew off on one day on a big story, and if you were aggressive, you could have jumped in and ran for another day, and you could have pocketed some cash, and if you were, as you know, real aggressive, you would have gone short and made some money when it dropped yesterday. And, you know, there were some technical signals like gaps in the charts, which indicated that it could pull back. So, I mean, there's sort of a method to the madness here. It's just not, you know, rolling the dice. So I have the volume reversal, you know, technique, which I guess traders want to use that. They go to a company called MetaStock, which has been around since the 1980s, and you can sign up there and get my indicator, and you can look at it on a chart. So I'm ranting and raving a little bit because you asked me about AI, but, you know, the markets offer a lot of opportunity, and you just got to try to catch the swings, whether it's AI or gold or whatever, and you're going to miss a lot, and you can't be in them all. But you can make a living, and the floor traders that I studied with decades ago, you know, and they're still doing it, and now maybe do it upstairs, and they do it with computers and, you know, all kinds of programming and so forth, high-frequency trading, they call it. They got the computers doing it for the most part, I suppose, but there's still room for listeners of this program and others to, you know, sort of retire on a certain level. You know, if you enjoy sitting behind a computer a couple hours a day, and you can choose your time, and you know, stocks make big swings during the day, and if you got certain rules you follow and you catch like big moves up and or big moves down intraday, you can trade and you can make a pretty decent living doing it. So I think that's really what I'm all about. Is you know, when COVID hit and everybody ran to the houses, you know, everybody was working out of the house. I mean, I had been doing that since the 1980s. I mean, it was totally comfortable to me to work out of my house off my computer, and this was like a new life experience for, I guess, 90% of the people out there. I'd been behind the computer. I did my radio show behind the desk of my house with internet connections, and, you know, ever since I left working for brokerage firms decades ago, this was not a new experience for me, and it continues not to be a new experience for me. So as long as we have internet and we have connections and we get some honest reporting of data and the charts are real and, you know, we get all the same patterns that we seem to always follow work, then we're going to be doing okay. It was McGee and Edwards wrote that book back in the 1940s, I believe. It was a key technical book on technical analysis, and I forgot the exact title, but it's the McGee and Edwards book, and it shows basic chart patterns that are still applicable today as they were, you know, 80 years ago. You know, and we could talk about all kinds of chart formations on the screen. So you know what it is? Human emotions are always the same. They don't change. I'm sure traders in the desert in Sinai 3,000 years ago trading copper saw the same kind of emotional patterns up and down as we see today in NVIDIA or in Apple Computer or in gold or anything. So we're really quantifying human emotions here on the charts. And that's not going to change unless somehow, you know, we all become robots and we don't have human emotions anymore. So long and short is AI is just another game. It's going to be another game after that and another game after that. And it's a way Wall Street makes money and companies make money. And there's new technology, and there's always another gimmick for the stock market. I mean, we could talk about all kinds of gimmicks. Look what cannabis did, you know, between 2014 and 2018-19. You know, it was the cat's meow, so to speak, in terms of trading and stuff, you know. And before that, it was internet stocks until they, you know, they blew off. And, you know, there's always something out there. So it's a fun game.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, do you expect gold and silver to go higher this summer?
Well, we're, you know, on a trading basis, we jumped in yesterday and the day before because it looked like a little rally here, and it looked like the U.S. dollar might back off a little bit, but the U.S. dollar still seems to be in an uptrend. My biggest fear is that the overall market, the correction in the overall market, we're still in a treacherous time frame through the summer into the fall, and they throw the baby out with the bathwater, and if there's a... you know, another contraction here in the market, you know, credit contraction, and things start to drop big unless the Fed comes in and starts pumping money into the market and or lower interest rates to save a financial crisis, which could unfold still ahead. The feeling out there is that it's getting better and everything is band-aided up and everything's going to be okay, but there's still risk cyclically into the fall. And gold could drop, too, because, you know, my experience is that when there's a crisis, people have to raise money and they have to sell their gold and gold stocks, and they come down along with the market. So even though it's supposedly a hedge, and on a 5,000-year basis it is, but doesn't mean short-term you can't have more of a shakeout. We had a little correction recently. We're bouncing a little bit here. And you know, you should hold some gold coins in the safe deposit box as long-term insurance. But I don't know if this is the moment it's going to take off or not. On seasonality studies, generally by now you hit a top in the market. I think May or June is on a seasonal basis a little topping point for the metals, and then you pull back into the fall, and that becomes a better entry point. So on a trade. It looks higher here, maybe for another few days or a couple of days, but a lot depends on what the U.S. dollar is doing. But I wouldn't get, you know, caught like a deer in the headlights here that it's going to go up because suddenly the stock market's going down and everybody's going to jump into gold. So are you a trader or are you accumulating gold for 5,000 an ounce, which could happen in 10 years or whatever that time frame you have is, or are you trading it? So. You know, right now it looked bullish, very short term on a day-to-day basis, but that could end, you know, pretty quickly. And I guess I'm wrong if gold just tears off to the upside and based in U.S. dollar valuation takes out that 2080 level and closes above there, then you might get another couple 300 points and the bulls could really be happy. So. But we're going to be in there trading if that happens. I mean, like I say, we're long now on just a very short term basis for trade, and if this suddenly explodes, you know, to the upside and gold's up $150 or $200 an ounce the next week or so, you know, we'll be in there. But I'm also aware that it may not happen either, and we're coming off a triple top in gold. And, you know, can it break through there now or later this year? So I'm sort of thinking it's probably later this year than here. But, you know, we're ready to move if it does.
What's going on with crude? We're told we're going to see high gasoline prices again this summer, even though crude prices don't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah, technically it looks terrible. I mean, it's in this down channel if you do technical analysis. And I think it's a 100-day moving average if you're doing technical work, and it has to take that out. I think I mentioned this in a previous broadcast. That would be a little breakout of this down channel that it's been in. Everybody's been hoping that OPEC was going to do something, or, you know, we've read that, you know, Russia is cheating and selling its oil in other markets, and India is buying crude oil from Russia, and, you know, a lot of shenanigans is going on out there, and, you know, it's not taking off, though I'm still following Warren Buffett on Occidental Petroleum because he's a big buyer of that or holding that. So I think he has the same view that I do, you know, whether it's 1 year or 5 years, because he's got a much different time frame. You know, crude oil could be $200 a barrel, you know, some huge numbers. I still believe that's coming, whether I'll see it, you know, I'm right, you know, in this couple of 5 year time frame or it'd be longer or shorter. It's tough to say, but I think, you know, there's going to be big shortages and there's going to be reasons why the price is going to go a lot higher. You know, we don't know if it's geopolitical, geocosmic, what's going to cause that, but, you know, I think that's why, you know, Warren Buffett's in there. So if I was going to own an oil stock, I'd probably own Occidental accidental, because Warren's pretty smart and has demonstrated that over the years. But on a technical basis, crude oil itself is in this technical downtrend here, and you can attribute some of it to the strength in the U.S. dollar, because commodities tend to go in the opposite direction. And a lot of it is because of international shenanigans going on, you know, like with India and Russia and all kinds of where the transactions are going and what's being bought and sold. So, you know, that's just a trading comment. But if it breaks out of this technical pattern here, then it might be off and running again, and we'll jump in. So we are still like that oxy, though, because of Warren. I'm just going to follow an old master, you know, and the stock seems to hold pretty well, so that's probably a good hedge. Just if you have to be in an oil stock, you know, just follow Warren Buffett for a while, and let's see if crude oil itself breaks out.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Nothing extraordinary in the geocosmic stuff. I pulled up a slide while we were, in between the interview here to see if there was something else going on in the geocosmic sphere, like in solar flares and all kinds of fun stuff, but everything seems to be pretty quiet out there right now. But, you know, I talk about a lot of crazy stuff like volcanic activity, and suddenly Mexico has that experience. So, you know, I just sort of sit back and say we're all talking about the AI, or we're worrying about the debt ceiling being removed, or we're worrying if the Fed's going to pause this month, or go ahead and raise rates after all, and all the stuff in the all the political stuff going on in the world. And I just look back and say, it's out of our hands. So we get like a, I know people just think I'm crazy when I mention this, we get a volcano, super volcano explode. You can take all the global warning idiots out there and throw them out the window, and we end up going into a nuclear winter on the planet. And there's so many other things that could affect us besides what you hear on financial television. And I'm not predicting anything like this happen, but we track them, and we just, I'm sort of humbled every day about who we are and what really controls our future, and not necessarily what human beings are saying or doing minute to minute. So, look at the earthquake in Turkey, in the last few months. I mean, just stuff happens that overnight, your life is gone, or your property is gone, and everything you work for is gone. And, you say, what did the Fed have to do with this, or what did the debt ceiling have to do with this? And the answer is nothing. So we're really pawns at the hands of Mother Nature. And we talk like everything is controlled by humans and the political world, which is really a very small part of what's going on. We've got hurricane season coming up now in the summer months, and who knows what's that going to do or not do. So, can't sit and worry about it, but I'm just a realist about what the world is really all about. And, sometimes the markets predict it, and you see it coming in the markets, and sometimes you don't. But that's, if I make sort of final comment, I just look at a lot of stuff. So people get to see my newsletter, this we talk about the seasonality and where the lunar positions are, and is there anything going on with asteroids that are being tracked every day, or anything going on in that sphere. And we just watch a lot of stuff out there, because there are, what we've learned even in the stock market, there are surprises and outlier events all the time, and I continue to expect that, and hopefully we can react to it here at VR Trader.
Mark, thank you so much for the update.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet or also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.